You know, Lily, there's one thing that the product people I know are never trained in, and they always struggle to pick up.
Oh, you mean how to deal with really tricky stakeholders?
No, I mean the other thing.
Oh, like how to map all your product decisions from the company strategy down to the team goals this week.
Oh, that's a good one. But no, I mean the other one.
In that case, you must mean pricing?
Yep, that's the one. I mean, most of the time, it's not even something that we control, but still, it's really critical that we understand it.
And that's why we're revisiting our chat with Fanny Fiesch today. At the time, she was working with startups at Founders Factory, and this was one of the critical skills that she had to teach.
Now she's head of product at BeQuest, putting this into action herself. And it's always good to brush up on this subject.
Okay, no more nattering. Let's get to it.
The Product Experience is brought to you by Mind the Product. Every week on the podcast, we talk to the best product people from around the globe.
Visit mindtheproduct.com to catch up on past episodes and discover loads of free resources to help you with your product practice. You can also find more information about Mind the Product's conferences and their great training opportunities happening around the world and online.
Create a free account on the website for a fully personalized experience and to get access to the full library of awesome content and the weekly curated newsletter. Mind the Product also offers free Product Tank meetups in more than 200 cities. There's probably one near you.
Hi, Fanny. It's so lovely to welcome you onto the podcast today. How are you doing?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good. All the better for chatting with you today. So before we get kicked off on our topic of the day, it would be great if you could give us a real quick intro into what you do, kind of how you got into product. That would be fantastic.
Awesome. Sure. So currently I'm a product coach at Founders Factory, which is a startup accelerator and a venture studio. In the studio, I work closely with the founders, mainly to help him launch their very first version of the product. And then in the accelerator, we focus mainly on growth. I got into product back in Hungary, where I'm from. After uni, I wanted to do management consultancy. And one of my teachers knew about this and recommended this new company that was founded by four ex-McKinsey consultants. And I thought it was a great opportunity to join and learn from them. And they were back then building a digital lab, which really sounded cool, but I didn't also know anything about it. So I joined as the second hire. And to be completely honest with you, none of us really knew what we were doing back then. But we were also very determined, and then the hard work paid off. And that's where I fell in love with technology and decided to pursue a career in product from then on.
That's how I got into it.
So, Fanny, one of the things that you coach at Founders Factory is you help founders figure out how to price their product. And that's something that I've never been a go-to-market person for. A lot of people, pricing is scary. Why is it such a mystery for so many of us?
So just to give you a little bit of context, the reason I got into this was because it was just requested by so many of our startups to have a session or just help them through pricing. And I thought it was a great opportunity for me to put my product hat on and research and then learn and then iterate and experiment about pricing. So we kind of developed a pricing framework based on strategic pricing. And it was pretty successful. So I thought it might be sharing with the Mind the Product community. That's how I ended up having an article on the webpage. And the reason for it being really scary, I think, is because when I start to talk about experimenting, testing, and when I tied it back to pricing, it's just, you know, it's just a red flag for people. Can we change prices? Can we really test and iterate on prices? And often, like, the case is that, yes, we can. We are just a bit more afraid of it. And maybe that is why PMs don't really get into pricing at all. What I believe is important is just to know that pricing is not some sort of mysterious machine or the pricing strategy itself that, you know, gives you the right price. It's more of a strategy in terms of understanding what's the value that you are creating, who you are creating that value for, and how much their willingness is to pay for that value, and combining all that.
So you mentioned there that some PMs don't get involved in the pricing side of things. In your experience, does it end up falling within another team within the business?
So that can happen. I've seen like all sorts of different setups when pricing was handled by strictly the finance department. Sometimes it was handled by the go-to-marketing experts. Sometimes it was a combination of having different departments having a say in it. So it's kind of different case by company. But I would strongly advise that even if PMs are not driving the discussion necessarily, they get involved, because who else would be better suited to explain what the value is that we create for the customer?
And I imagine early stage, if you have competitors in the market, then that gives you like a baseline to start from, because you just look at the competition and go, well, they're charging this much and their pricing model is this, so this is kind of what our customers are going to be expecting. But if you don't have that, then that's where it can be really confusing.
So I have a strategy for the ones who don't necessarily have direct competitors. But just before going into that, competitors-based pricing is something that's a little bit old-fashioned. It's very reactive, and it's not. It doesn't really rely on understanding what's the real value that your product creates. What you really want to make sure is that you understand how you differentiate yourselves from your competitors, because basically the economic value is of your product is you can use as a baseline your best competitor, and then on top of that, the differentiator value is that what you can add. So as of some of the price, that would be a good starting point to start like figuring out the price level. But when you don't have competitors, direct competitors, then you still have an option to kind of go and research a little bit more on non-direct competitors and use that as a baseline. Just to give you an example, for example, Netflix and Amazon Prime are great direct competitors, but indirect competitor for them would be customers reading a book. Because they are using exactly the same time on the day that they would either use watching Netflix or, you know, reading a book. So when you think about competitors, just think about the context of your customer and what would they be doing if they weren't using your product, or what would be their workaround to solve exactly the same problem that your product is solving now.
Do you take the same approach to figure out pricing if you are going direct to consumer or if you're a B2B, or are there totally different strategies for the two markets?
So the approach is very similar in terms of relying on, as I said, like, and I probably said this word 100 times and I will say 1,000 times in the future as well. It all starts with understanding the value. But how you can get there could be a little bit different. With B2C, also testing is a lot easier because you can do all sorts of multivariate testing, landing page testing, ad testing, you name it. While when it comes to B2B, it's a little bit harder to get like get data on how much people are willing to pay for your product. So in that case, if you are, it's a bit trickier, but in that case, you still have options to use. For example, you can use all sales opportunities as a testing opportunity for the price. You can show like in the beginning, as it's more about negotiation anyway, until you haven't established a pricing strategy for your product. And so every single discussion there could be used as an opportunity to learn about your customer's budget, about their decision-making process. And you can ask questions literally about like, okay, so I know that you work with this other company named X. How long did it take for them to get through, you know, the process and finish the deal? And by that, you kind of have an understanding of, okay, does this fit with our sales cycle? Is it longer? Is it shorter? And then you can have a few follow-up questions. All right, so if that's the case, how long could we speed this up a little bit? Or you could also ask them, what sort of budget you can still approve and what sort of budget needs to go to the finance department or to the CFO to be approved. And so that can help you figure out where you can start the pricing from. But yes, in B2B, testing and iterating on it, it's a bit trickier than in B2C.
So just thinking about, you know, it's not just the number that you put on it when you were talking about pricing, but it's also potentially different levels of what would you call them, like account or, you know, different tiers, if you like, of service. How would you sort of recommend people try and understand what those tiers might be?
So what you are really looking for here is the difference in behavior. Who are the customers who are using your product? That's question one. But then question one, how do they use your product? And the key here is to identify groups that are using your product differently. And once you have that, then you can build up packages to suit each groups so that you are not leaving money on the table by not fulfilling the needs of either group. So if we have group A, for example, that comes in every single day, does ABC in your product, and then you have group B who comes in once a week and does C and D, that's a really strong finding for you that you can use as a base when you are developing your tires, because those two groups are behaving significantly differently. So probably that the value that they are getting out of your product is different. And once you understand that value, you are able to better target your customers, but also you are able to create packages that really speak for them and work for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So would you give the product away free for a while to begin with so that you can begin to see this behavior with a, and I guess it really depends, because if it's a kind of B2B enterprise product, obviously you're not going to give that away for free. But thinking about if you're in a situation where, you know, it's maybe like a lower value product, would you kind of give it away for free so that you can, you know, see some of that behavior come through and then try and break it down into tiers?
Yeah, this is a tough question. I have a personal opinion. If you can avoid giving the product for free, then do. If not, then, you know, and you need desperately the feedback from the customers, then just go ahead and have it free. But when it comes to B2B or enterprise businesses, usually it would anyway start with a pilot agreement with a few companies. And there, I would suggest to make sure that you have an end date, even if the pilot is for free. If you can ask for money, that's even better. But if the pilot is free, then just make sure that it is for a certain amount of time. And then you have the chance to renegotiate from there once you delivered on your promise. And when it comes to B2C, I think that's a less risky start, like, you know, just to have early bird users on your platform and to give it them for free. But even in that case, in my personal experience, it is easier for to ask for more money than ask for money at all. So that's just something to consider. Yeah,
that's really interesting. Yeah.
Hey there, fellow product managers. Is attending the product event of the summer in your plan yet? Mind the Product and Pendo are going on the road together in Europe, bringing all the learning and fun from their flagship conferences MTPCon and Pendemonium into a single event, stopping in three cities, Amsterdam, Berlin, and London.
If you want to hear from industry leaders, gain valuable insights, learn new product management strategies, and connect with fellow product professionals, then grab your ticket now.
Mark your calendars. Amsterdam on June 18th, London on June 20th, and Berlin June 27th.
Be sure to join Mind the Product and Pendo for the Product Person's event of the year.
We'll see you around Europe. Fanny, I love how you talk about that. It's easier to ask for more money than to ask for money at all. And I really want to talk to you about optimizing strategy, price strategy and how to test and all that. But I have one more question on this, which is there's a lot of companies and a lot of products that have a freemium tier to get people involved. So how does that work? How do you recommend using freemium in combination with what you just said?
So yeah, so freemium works very well if you have a product that's kind of based on some sort of collaboration. And it is really easy to start using. Because you just don't want to have any barriers for the people coming to use your product in that case, because what the really gives the value is if people invest time in your product. And so that is the reason also to introduce paywall a little bit later anyway, because by then for them, the cost of change would be quite high. So you are not losing with actually introducing freemium as an acquisition strategy. With products that are hard to onboard or take long time to onboard, really hard to realize the value of in the very first minute of start using it, I would advise against, because that's just like, you know, it might feel like it just might not be the right customer experience. Because if it takes time, if it's long for them to get used to it, they might as well just give it up before they actually get to the value. And yeah, I would just consider how it would fit within your product offering.
So we talked earlier as well about testing pricing. One of the things that I've always found really confusing is how you can test pricing if it's kind of transparent to the world. So, you know, if you have a couple of different landing pages with a couple of different prices on them, how do you, you know, not upset customers who they, when they find out, oh, I was paying more because of, you know, I just ended up on the wrong landing page.
Yeah, so it is, you're right, it's a little bit riskier to test this way, but it's also faster way of testing. So if you are happy to take that risk for a short period of time while you are testing it, then go with landing page tests. It will take time for them to figure out. And also when they figure out, you can just explain. If you're being super transparent about that, that's also a really good strategy with customers, why you are doing this, you know, just making sure that they get the right value and you find the right price for your product. And then the second thing that you can do is you can launch surveys as well. In that case, just make sure that you are trying to ask them about their past behavioral rather than about the willingness to pay. You can introduce packages and they can tell you which package they like the most. But then if you have different packages there and you have the cheapest option, then that can skew the results. But what you learn about them, if they are your customers who do the survey with, you can learn about them, what is the price that they are willing to pay for other products like your product. And that can give you a really good indication. So, for example, if they are subscribed to Spotify, then you know that at least that amount of money they pay every month for listening to music. And then you can build a better persona profile using that information and then kind of understand, like, how does your product fit into that?
I think it's really interesting. I've always shied away personally from asking people about pricing and surveys because I've assumed that they won't tell me the truth.
Yeah, and you are absolutely right. I completely agree with that. Like, if you're asking them about, do you like it better if it costs £5 or £10, obviously I would go for five, even if I was yeah. Right. So you're absolutely right. So you have to be a little bit trickier if you do use surveys. Asking these hypothetical questions anyway is not the best methodology in discovery. So try to ask about past experience and try to like have a workaround for that.
I wanted to ask you about another term that I've heard a lot and I've seen in action, but I've never had to use it myself. And that's the concept of anchor pricing. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you should use it? And is it a bit of a dirty tactic?
Really good question. It's more of a communication technique in my mind, because it allows you to make one package or plan seem worthier than other, and hence tell the customer to buy that one, which could be used very ethically, that, you know, this is just the right product, this is just the right plan for you to use. But in often cases, it is more likely to be the best option for the company. So, and I do think that customers sometimes realize that. So whenever you are using anchoring, which basically means that you are favoring one of the plans over the others, make sure that you have a reason for that. It's either because it's the, you know, really truly the best money for value for certain people. And if they be like, for example, if you have a pricing that starts with a package that's free, then you have a pricing which has like a starter, which has a certain price. And then you have one more package, and then the fourth one is for enterprise. It is very easy for me as an enterprise to identify with the fourth package, even though one of the other packages was, you know, anchored. But if I come in as a smaller customer, then for me, it's, you know, it's either or with the two middle packages. And for me, it would be really great if I understood, like, what am I getting from the package that costs more if I go with that? And if you can explain very clearly that the reason for going with this package, which you highlighted, is that because you will be able to get this and that, then I think this is a fair tactic to use. You know, otherwise, yeah, it can be a little bit nasty.
So one of the things that I've always heard working in startups is, you know, just like make the product free, and then when you get the numbers, the money just comes. but I guess when you're thinking about pricing, you know, and beginning to introduce pricing into your product, whether that's like right from the beginning or when you have a certain number of users, should you be thinking about it in terms of profits? So should you be kind of like calculating the cost of running the product and running the business, and then working out from there, this is how the cost of the subscription that we need to, or whatever, you know, whether it's a subscription model or another kind of model. So this is how much it needs to be in terms of like wanting to pay for itself.
Yeah. So cost is also important to factor in, but it shouldn't be the driver of your pricing strategy. By cost, when it comes to software, usually it is very scalable. And so you don't really need to worry about cost that much, unless you have a very complex product and you are playing on an enterprise field where sales cycles can get really long. In that case, you need to kind of factor that in when it comes to building up the pricing strategy. You can use as a tactic that in the beginning that you are asking, you're not actually considering cost, and you are asking for an amount that you can ask for. But at some point, you would need to be like very clear with yourself whether that's a viable business that you are building. And if you are a startup, not only with yourself, but also with investors as well. So it is good to have in the back of your mind, like, what is the desired outcome that you would like to get to with your pricing and with your revenue. But you just can't ignore the fact that you need to deliver that value to the customer. And if they are not willing to pay for it that much, then, you know, your product is not solving a big enough problem, or your product is not solving it well enough in order to get that income in return. So this is, I think this is kind of a balancing act.
So do you think that those kind of early stage startups should have a plan, like a pricing strategy before they even build the product, and understanding of what people will pay before they even embark on building the product?
I think this is more of a conversation, and it's a journey. So they don't necessarily have to have a firm picture about what's the price that they want to ask for it, but it's good to start thinking about certain price levels and how it would change the financial plan. also another good thing to pay attention to before you really go to, even before you go to market, is there a way for you to understand who is going to use your product and how they are going to use your product? Because unless you have all the tools in place to have a good deep understanding of that, that's just going to be really hard to make a decision of the pricing level and both the strategy retrospectively once you don't have the data. So it is what I would suggest in the very beginning is just to have a few sessions with your whole team to think about the inputs you would need in 3 months of time so that you set yourself up for success and you make sure you gather those inputs. By inputs, I mean any fundraising input, any usage data from your customers, anything about the financial plan that you already started thinking about, and data about your competitors, data about your costs. Those are all important factors to make the most of the pricing strategy, but none of them is a single driver of it.
Okay, so I just have one more question, Fanny. It's been really interesting talking to you about all this stuff, by the way. But how do you know if you've got your pricing right?
Really good question. So this is not something that you get right and it stays right for a certain amount of time. So once you are in a good position and you feel like you're making enough money while your customers are being super happy, that's a good sign of a success, but that will change, I guarantee you. There will be competitors coming to the market. The context and the behavior of your customers will change over time. So this is not something that you are done at some point with. This is something that you constantly do and iterate on. And if there is a rule of thumb that I can say in my personal experience, once you got to an initial good situation where everything just played out nicely, then every 6 months or so, it's worth revisiting whether anything has changed on the market. And just keep continue collecting the data to back those decisions up and keep learning about it, because the pricing strategy just won't last very long.
Awesome. Thank you, Fanny. I think we've run out of time for any more questions, but it's been so great talking to you. It is such a tricky subject. And I am very grateful that you have created a framework for us all to use. And we shall be sharing the link to that in the show notes. So if anyone has an interest in pricing, they should take a look.
Thank you so much for having me today. Really.
Thank you, Fanny.
The Product Experience is the first
and the best
podcast from Mind the Product. Our hosts are me, Lily Smith,
and me, Randy Silver.
Luron Pratt is our producer and Luke Smith is our editor.
Our theme music is from Hamburg-based band POW, that's P-A-U. Thanks to Arnie Kittler, who curates both Product Tank and MTP Engage in Hamburg, and who also plays bass in the band, for letting us use their music. You can connect with your local product community via Product Tank, regular free meetups in over 200 cities worldwide.
If there's not one near you, maybe you should think about starting one. To find out more, go to mindtheproduct.com/productTank.